Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Thank you for joining with us on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. It's amazing to think that 2021 is almost past, and in some senses of the word, it feels like we're moving into a season of normalcy from the standpoint of time management and project management. But I did want to take some time today and really discuss the whole idea of planning for the new year. And it's my prayer that some of the topics that we discuss today will help you as you prepare for 2022. If you're like us, we're asking the Lord for fruit and regaining of momentum in this new year of 2022. And yet we know that that's going to require on our part as a leadership team, as well as on my part as a senior pastor and college president, to be looking ahead and getting the right things on the calendar that would provide the traction for going forward. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful." And we know that contextually that refers to our approach to the Bible itself and rightly dividing the word of truth. But stewardship is a concept that involves truth, it involves time, it involves resources, it involves influence. And I believe that those of us who are involved in leadership recognize that life is really all about stewardship. Years ago, I wrote a book entitled Stewarding Life and really tried to emphasize the principle of stewardship. And that's what we're going to do today. As we talk about the development of an annual plan, we want to emphasize the fact that stewardship is a principle that must be lived out on a daily basis. Years ago, I read the little phrase, "Not to plan is to plan to fail." Now, I'm very mindful of the fact that God doesn't have to be bound to my plan. Let me say that right off the bat. We serve a sovereign God who moves as he will. But the fact of the matter is that he's called us to count the cost, and he's called us to occupy until he comes. And occupying, as is mentioned in Luke's gospel, speaks of settling down and getting something done in this world for his glory. And so today, as we recognize that the lack of planning is oftentimes a real indicator of failure in ministry and in life. And so this is a great time of year. Even the week between Christmas and New Year can be a great time to really finalize some of your plan. I was working just this morning on the sermon planning for the first half of 2022 and finalizing some text and some titles. And if I don't get those train tracks laid, then it's going to be kind of a crash down the road. So some introductory thoughts: not to plan is to plan to fail. Secondly, he who aims at nothing hits it every time. Let me just ask you today, what are some of the big rocks that are going in your jar of planning for 2022? What are some of the things that you're asking God to let you see? And I really mean by that, projects, yes. We have some buildings that we want to finish next year, some capital purchases for the ministry. But even more than that, with respect to numbers of people saved or baptized, we have a goal to plant a new church in Los Angeles. We're stepping back and asking, what about the spiritual life of the church? And God's put on my heart to really emphasize prayer in my preaching during the evening services in January. So you need to take time as you do this planning to realize that if we aim at nothing, we'll hit it every time. What are some of the specific things that you're aiming for in 2022? So begin to write some of those things down generally, because those are going to need to be reflected specifically on the calendar. And then, of course, another principle that I try to abide by just generally and introductory here this time is that we're looking at not to plan is to plan to fail. He who aims at nothing hits it every time. And then third principle, God is not the author of confusion. Now, when I ponder And when I observe some ministries, it seems to me that there's a lot of busyness, but not a lot of accomplishment. And we know that business is not the mark of accomplishment. And we know that it's vital that in our lives that we have order. And so God is not the author of confusion. And it takes a leader who's looking at the calendar and really asking God, is there balance here? Is there an emphasis on soul winning and discipleship? Is there an emphasis on relationship development as well as perhaps the preaching and the outreach of the church? And keeping the balance on that calendar is vitally, vitally important. And then finally, it's possible to be drowned by ministry, but it's not necessary. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, I'm just drowning in my work. And many times it's because of a lack of rhythm. There's not margin put on this calendar. There are not times that are intentionally either slower or replenishing in nature. And that's something else we want to be looking at as we put all of this together. And so we want to remember that God has given us a stewardship. Now, when you consider that stewardship, you consider that much of what we're going to talk about is around the subject of time. And so I want to make a few comments about time, and then we'll dive into this lesson. When you think about time, we need to remember that time is the gift of God. Our days are numbered, and we don't want to squander those days that have been given to us. In fact, the Bible commands us in Ephesians 5 to redeem the time because the days are evil. And has that ever been true in recent days? We need to recognize that we want to invest our lives while we can. And you also want to remember that time really represents your life. To waste time is to waste your life. I think one of the tragedies of social media, between the gossip of social media and the sarcasm of social media, and then the games that can be played over the internet, is the fact that so much time is lost. Besides deviant behavior or malicious gossip, and sin is just the loss of time. And so we need to recognize that to waste time is to really, truly waste a life. Also, I think it's important that we remember that lost time can't be retrieved. We want to invest it while we can. And then remember ultimately that we'll be held accountable for the use of our time and the use of our resources. And so all of these thoughts to say that stewardship of our time and of our life is something that we should all take so very seriously in light of eternity. And so as we consider today developing the annual plan, let's look at it from this stewardship philosophy so that we are planning, so that we are not squandering, so that we are not providing a confusion or an uncertain sound as we lead the troops, so to speak, into this new year. And so let's talk about some ways that, with those philosophies in mind, that we can really have a functioning annual plan. The first thing that I always encourage as you consider your annual plan is to consider your roles. And so philosophically, you may have jotted down a few thoughts, but now let's take a few minutes and just consider, who are you? What has God given you in the sense of your God-ordained roles? And so for me, I've always jotted down, first of all, that I'm a man of God, or I'm God's man. I have been redeemed. I'm set apart. I have a role that must be nurtured, and that role includes being in relationship with God. Now, you can use the term you want to use. You could simply state that you're a Christian. But I'm a Christian man or a man of God. That is the number one role in my life. My identity is found in Christ. But I must nurture that role. I must nurture that relationship. So on my annual plan, I'm going to make sure that I have daily and weekly times of evaluation, and then quarterly times of evaluation of that particular relationship, which is central to everything else. And so that's the number one role that I write down every November, December, just considering where I'm going in the new year. Where do I want to go spiritually in my relationship with Christ? The second role that I always consider is the role of a husband. And God has given me a wonderful wife. Terry and I will celebrate 41 years of marriage this year. And there's some things that are going to go on my calendar that are specifically relative to our relationship. That will include a weekly date night. That will include an anniversary trip, normally late December, early January. That will include remembrances of birthdays and other special events that literally get put on the calendar. Because these roles that I'm mentioning to you are God's calling for my life. And so consider that role that you have if you're married. And then thirdly, of course, I consider the fact that I'm a father and a grandfather. And I have four children who serve the Lord, and I thank the Lord for each of them. I have 11 grandchildren. I was able just last week to take a couple of my oldest grandsons and lots of driving, but take them out hunting and just spend some time, and God was good and let us have some success. And you know, I was telling my administrative assistant Bonnie this morning, I will never regret the drive to and from Colorado for the 24 hours we had there on the farm, and being able to let them experience hunting and have those memories together. So, but that happened because in my planning over a year ago, I marked off those 4 days or so to take the boys and to invest in their life. So whether it's my children or grandchildren, and granted, a lot of this time is going to revolve around the holidays, it's going to revolve around birthdays, but still get that down and in writing, because the role of your family is a God-ordained role. And then, of course, there's a few other roles that I jot down, and the next one is that I'm a preacher. And this is a role that came when God called me to preach as a seventh grade boy. And so as a preacher, it's going to be vital that my annual plan includes time weekly for study. That would include several mornings a week. That would include at least once a quarter time to assess the titles and the themes of the preaching. And I've got to just schedule that down. I mean, I can't let the program of the church run over that. And that's been harder in my earlier years when I was much, much more involved in daily program. I'm still involved administratively, but I've learned to make a priority of study. I don't need to be up Saturday night trying to cram a sermon because I didn't plan well. And so I have time set aside for study. That would include some time in the summer, normally at least a week, sometimes longer, where I just get that on my calendar and I know that I'll be studying that week. And then, of course, other times throughout the normal schedule of a given week. Besides being a preacher, I am a pastor. And so that is the next role that I jot down in my life. And as you're sensing, all of these roles are completely different. They're somewhat related, but they require separate time on my annual plan. So as a pastor, there are some events that are incumbent upon me to plan ahead for. That may include a deacon's orientation weekend. It may include a couple's orientation weekend. That may include missions conference, revival conference. There's a lot of things that are not able to be, we're not able to plan, such as a hospital visit or a funeral. Those things are going to come up. That's why we want to leave some margin in this planning. But the pastoral events that are things that are regularly happening in your ministry, be sure to plan those out ahead of time. Some of those events will change. There will be some things deleted, some things added. For example, we've had for many, many years an open house Sunday. That's fairly consistent on our calendar. But some years we'll have a friend day, some years we will not. Sometimes those days are preceded by a special outreach Saturday. I feel that people do what people see. So that gets on my calendar so that I'm there with the people going out on those days. So a special day may have an outreach component attached, but all of that needs to be placed there because of the fact that I am a pastor. Additionally, in my life, I am a college president. So as I consider my annual plan, I consider the responsibilities of leading a Christian college. And God has blessed us with our on-campus and online with over 800 students. There's a lot of events related to having a college. So I make sure that I'm here for opening week. I make sure that I have my class that I teach calendarized. There's normally 10 or 12 lectures that I'll give each semester, and I've got to line out what those lectures are, what days they're taught. I typically try to be in a couple of staff meetings a month on Thursdays with our administrative team. We typically have retreats after the semesters, or at least a planning day here on campus to evaluate and to go through planning for the future. So this is another role that I have. I could add one more role, and that would simply be the role of being either an author or equipper. It takes me time to write. It takes me time to plan for things like Spiritual Leadership Conference. And so I'll also schedule some time for that role, which would be perhaps a seventh role. Now, yours may be completely different. You might be involved in a Christian school. You might be involved in some other side work, or maybe you're bivocational. But the fact is, identifying those roles really, really is important. And normally I'll take, amongst other things, and I do have the Outlook program, I have daily reminders, I have all kinds of bells and whistles that remind me not to forget this or that, as well as some great secretarial help. But I love having a little colored calendar that I use. And the calendar is given in different colors because the colors represent the roles. So my role with Terry is a certain color. My role in preaching is another color. With family is another color. With the children, study may be another color. And I try to identify my roles on the calendar in a color-coded way, and oftentimes that helps me to see the balance is there and really is in place. So start with identifying your roles, and where does God want you to go with those roles this year? Now, the second thing that I would challenge you with today, after you jot the roles down, is to consider the needed emphasis for each role. What is it that God wants you to emphasize as a husband, as a pastor, as a teacher in the new year? For example, with the pastoring, I always choose an annual theme. And our theme for 2022 is not ashamed. And we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now that helps me to have that theme because that's going to correlate with my study patterns going into the new year. It's also going to correlate with the theme of our stewardship banquet. It's going to correlate with the theme of our leadership conference, for example. So to us, having a theme really is integrated throughout these other areas of ministry. And then the schedule of the church will have that theme in mind. And so we're going to schedule some things that are specifically related to not being ashamed of the gospel. That will involve outreach, that will touch our missions, and the theme has a great way of coalescing along with that overall plan. So we identify our roles, and then we consider the emphasis within each of the ministries, and we ask, how can our theme support what we're doing along the way this year? The third thing that's important to do is to involve your team. For us, that involves the annual planner meeting, and a lot of times our pastoral staff or college leadership, when I announce that in October, they're like, oh, wow, we've got a lot to do to get ready. But the planning process in a larger ministry, and even in a ministry of two or three staff, is really important. Now, Staff Planner Day is a day coming up for us, actually a few days from now, where each of the pastoral staff will be given about 15 minutes to present in front of their peers the plan that they have for their area of ministry. Outreach, for example, may include 10 outreach events. It may include two or three ongoing training times, and it may involve other aspects of touching into the community, whether the Antelope Valley Fair, whether the police officers outreach, whether we have the Grand Prix at Lancaster, where several thousand people like to watch mini cars racing down the streets. But whatever the big event is in this town, we're going to be there as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Well, that's going to be presented by the outreach pastor. There's another educational component, and what curriculum are we using for each quarter? We want to know all of that before the year begins. And so each of the planners are presented to me, and I'll have a copy. Now, in the planner, for example, if someone indicates that they're going to have an outreach event, then we want to see on that planner that they have purchased, ordered the food a couple months in advance, that they have printed the material a month or two in advance, that they have reserved the room. If there's vehicles, that those vehicles have been reserved and drivers have been notified. And all of that is going to be on the planner. So when we talk about creating an annual plan, we really do get into the nuts and bolts. Now, we don't take as much time in the planner meeting to cover all of that, but I want to see that. And actually, I have a secretary that types every bit of each leader's plan into my Outlook so that on a given day, I can pull up on a Wednesday, I can see, okay, this Saturday is the outreach event, and I can see what's supposed to happen for that. Now, that gives all of us an understanding of where we're heading together as a team. Then we lay on top of that a college plan, which would include many events, West Coast Baptist Youth Conference coming up in March, the college graduation in May. Then we lay on top of that a school planner. And one of the reasons that I like our leadership to present their plan together is A, they always walk out of the meeting going, wow, I didn't realize everything going on in that college. Or wow, the church is really going to have a great year. Or boy, it's amazing to think of what God's doing in the lives of almost 500 K through 12 students on our campus, and our principal's doing a great job. A lot of camaraderie comes from just the planning process. So it's important that you involve the team, that you allow each of them to present their vision for the new year, and then that you take those events and you lay them on top of one another and make sure that they're not right on top of one another. They need to blend together. So you don't want to have three events on the same day, for example. And that's where some of our administrative staff and my secretarial staff really take a look at that calendar during the last 6 weeks of the year to make sure that everything's moving forward cohesively. Then, of course, it's important that as you take those events and you're assigning them to the church calendar, that there are people who would recognize before the year begins if there's too much congestion. And this is a process that we're very much involved in right now. You know, there's too many activities that week. We need to pull one to the week before, one to the week after. Just this morning was talking to Terry about a ladies' night out event that she's having and how it fell right on top of another event. So we adjusted that. It's so much better to catch those things in November, December than to have to deal with it later on in the year. So assign each of those events a calendar date. Now, the next thing you want to do as you are looking at your annual plan is take from those priorities, from the emphasis that God's laid on your heart, and from the planner where you now have multiple events assigned to a date, and take some time and distribute that amongst three or four who can really analyze and really troubleshoot your annual plan. And make sure that within the annual plan, you have addressed the purposes of your church, the roles of your life, and that you also are looking for the rhythm that needs to be happening there and provided there for the church family. Identify the conflicts that you see. Identify the vulnerability that you see. And this is where you might have a little bit of tension on the team, friendly tension, but that's where sometimes some of our leaders will say, look at this outreach event has been going on for 30 years. We got to hold on to that. And someone else might say, yeah, but we have a school fundraiser. And that's where we'll say, look at it's all going to work, but we're going to have to work together as a team to adjust accordingly. Now, the great thing about the plan is that once you're laying out the time-related plan, is you can begin to allocate resources. So our CFO will sit in the planner meetings, and he will take tremendous notes, and he'll be asking, has this been presented in the budget? Because normally our budget is coming together and finalizing early in December so that it can be presented to our deacons early in January. And it has to be recommended by the deacons and then presented to the church the third Wednesday of January. So if some guy's getting up giving his planner and he's got, you know, XYZ planned, and the financial administrator's going, wait a minute, none of that's in the budget. Again, you're having an opportunity through planning to catch something that would have created conflict in March or April. So from the plan, you can also begin to budget. And that includes all of the roles that I have. That includes for me, maybe budgeting time away to be with the Lord or to attend a certain conference that might help me spiritually. It includes budgeting time to be with Terry. It includes budgeting time for family. It includes budgeting for the church, a program, which is a cooperative effort. It includes budgeting for the college, et cetera, et cetera. So you begin with the plan, you steward the time, now you're able to add the financial component, and then that leads thirdly to the personnel component, which is something that in an ongoing fashion we're making sure that we're staffed up for each of these priorities and objectives that we have. So you allocate the resources that are necessary. Now, an annual plan is something that is like a budget. It's laying out a desired direction, and sometimes you'll hit it, sometimes you'll miss it, but at least you have it there to give you the direction that is needed. And I trust that you'll recognize today that time is a gift from God, that we're all called to be stewards, and that God is not the author of confusion, and that it's God's will that each of us would consider our roles and that we would lay that out on the calendar, and then that we would get together with the team that we work with at the church, and that we would hear what God is putting on their heart, lay that out on the calendar, prayerfully then begin massaging that, working that plan so that we can budget the plan, and then when the new year starts, begin working it as we have prayerfully developed it over the 3 months or so prior. And so I pray that something said today will help you to develop a more cohesive and workable plan. And the great thing about it is your people will notice it. When we give the calendar out on that first Sunday of January, our folks know that there's been hundreds of hours of preparation to get us ready for this new start. And everybody's looking forward to a new start for 2022. And I hope that you'll plan to see God do a great work in your life. I do want to mention our youth conference coming up in March. We want to invite you and your teenagers to visit us here at West Coast Baptist College, Lancaster Baptist Church. We're excited about what God's doing on this campus, and we want to encourage young people who want to touch this world with the gospel to be a part of this great event. Until then, we look forward to being with you next month right here at the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. Thanks for tuning in with us, and thank you for sharing the podcast. Thank you for recommending it to friends. We always appreciate those referrals along the way.